Every morning, Taryn Armstrong talks Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness, from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for January 29th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Jenny. How you doing, Jenny?
I'm great, Taryn. I'm so glad to be back doing these for Celebrity Big Brother 2, and I'm excited.
Yes, we are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the live feeds for Celebrity Big Brother 2, and we got some before eviction stuff. And we've got some after eviction stuff to talk about.
Yeah, feeds are down because of the live show and the live veto and eviction. Feeds are off for a big portion of like the midday, but stuff earlier in the day and then late or early morning, depending on how you look at it.
Yes. So here we go. Let's get into this crazy, not that crazy, unfortunately, house.
I mean, depends on what your definition of crazy is. There's definitely crazy.
There's some very disappointing. I was in such disbelief that I had to tweet it out to make sure that this is really a thing that happened. So wait for that. Natalie and Lolo are going to be talking early in the day. This is before the eviction. They have agreed to take out Tamar over Dina if Ryan or Joey end up winning the veto. So Tamar was going to be the person evicted if Joey ended up winning that veto in the episode, or if Ryan had been picked and won the veto. However, they do recognize that it seems like Kato wants Dina to stay because he's closer to Dina than they are, and that Dina would come after them before she came after him or Tom. So they recognize that, but they're still willing to let Tamar go first.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lose-lose situation last night. Like, I'm still not quite over it. I didn't want to lose Ryan, and getting rid of Tamar would have sucked too. I mean, they are definitely acknowledging that Dina is less good for their game than Tamar, but it seems that they're still willing to cut that fat from this supposed girls alliance that isn't even really an alliance. It's just those two, but.
Yeah, I mean, I too was feeling like, oh man, I definitely don't want to lose Ryan, but I also don't want to lose Tamar. This really is a lose-lose situation, but I'll say this, at least Ryan would have competed in the HOH competition. We're not there yet.
We're going to wait for this.
So Lolo and Tom and Kato have a conversation. There's a whole mess happening where Tamar at one point told the women that Dina was not going to use the veto if she won, and that she, in order to protect Ryan and Joey, she's not going to use the veto so that they can't be backdoored. And so Lolo, she goes and tells Tom and Kato, and Kato's like, what? No, that's not true. We need to go talk to Dina and make sure that she does use the veto. And Tom is just like, well, if she doesn't use the veto, we'll just vote her out. And Kato's like, no. He's like, well, if she doesn't use the veto, he's like, she is going to use the veto. Yeah, but if she doesn't use the veto, no, but we're going to tell her to use the veto. And Tom is just like, well, no, don't talk to her. Don't tell her. Let her decide her own fate. If she wants to not use the veto, let's just vote her out. So they're talking about that. They end up talking to Dina, and they say, hey, we've heard that you might not use the veto. And she's like, what? Why would I not use the veto? That doesn't make any sense. They're like, okay, good. Dina's pissed. She's like, I can't believe that. She said a swear word. I don't remember what it was, but she was like, oh, I can't believe I just swore. She was very mad.
I mean, Dina is playing the game a little bit. She does at least have the game instinct of use the veto on yourself.
Yeah. And, it's again, to Dina's credit, in this conversation, she's like, I just want to work with you guys. Just like, I want to be on your team. And like, just the day before, she was talking with Ryan and Joey, like, hey, we got to pull in, you know, we got to pull in Candy. And, you know, like she is in, like, she is floating. She is actively floating in this game, which is, you know, actually kind of working well, too. So don't close your eyes on Dina here. She's,
are you prepared for Dina Lohan, our Celebrity Big Brother 2 winner?
It's not genuinely impossible. In my opinion, one of the more likely scenarios right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, definitely start preparing. Well,
sorry, I was talking about the universe where Dina Lohan wins Celebrity Big Brother 2, and apparently all systems had to shut down for that.
Okay,
that was crazy.
So I mean, I was trying to get people to prepare for a potential Dina win, but I guess
the universe won't let it happen.
Really don't want that to happen. Sorry, Scott, you're gonna have to edit that one out. Anyway, but let's just pretend that never happened. Ready? We're gonna make an edit point here. So yeah, Dina could totally win. All right. Anyway,
definitely a possibility.
Yes. So Dina was mad. They're like, okay, everything's fine. She's going to use the veto, obviously. And then there's this whole mess. Then Kato is going to go around telling people, oh no, everything's fine. Dina's going to she's going to use it. But oh wait, who does she choose? Who does she choose in, if she gets picked to choose somebody in the veto draw? She's got to choose. We told her to choose Ricky, but wait a minute. What if Ricky's already chosen? What if Ricky's? Oh, I don't know. Okay. Oh, she'll choose Tom. Okay. Perfect. Great. She'll choose Tom. Wait a minute. What if both Ricky and Tom are already chosen? Oh man. Uh oh.
Well, I don't understand how with this few people in the house, like they're so frantic over like the few possibilities that can happen. Like it's such difficult, you know, strategy.
Well, you say they, but it was Kato.
It's Kato. Yeah. He's so frantic. Like he's like, but then he's like, oh, I gotta, yeah, it's all good. Like he has no internal monologue. Like every like stream of thought that he has is coming out. He can't take a moment to just think about it and then like say the last thing, like where he figures it out. No, you gotta go through the whole realm of possibilities.
It's like he likes to be just like chill, joking around guy, but the second something is like, oh, we have to figure this out, he's like, oh, okay, so Ricky, then she'll choose you, but then if you're already chosen, then she'll choose Tom, and then I don't know what to do after that. And Ricky's like, I mean, what are the odds that we're already, hey, it's good to be prepared. We got to tell her about what to do. So I guess we'll just tell her that, you know, I've convinced the women to veto her and that she should choose one of the women, that everything. Okay. Everything's fine. All right. Back to chill Kato.
How long?
Now I need to go talk to Dina. Hey, Craig. Okay, Dina. So here's what you got to do. And it was just this whole mess. If you want to be frustrated, go back, watch the conversation with Kato and Dina, where Kato tries to describe to Dina what she's supposed to do in the veto draw. They both get very confused, and it's pretty pretty nuts. Pretty nuts.
What a good sell. If you want to go get frustrated, choose to be frustrated by watching people.
Yes.
Go back and watch this.
Yes. So, you know, just do that. So,
it's been a frustrating week with Kato.
Yes.
He made sure that the last few hours of his HOH were on brand.
Yeah. So we end up going to the eviction. And as we saw, Ryan was not chosen to play in the veto. Joey was. The Joey signal was a light, and he did not pull through. He failed his city, and everything is bad in the world for Ryan. Ryan gets evicted. Backdoor, a true backdoor for Ryan Lochte. And there we go. Ryan is out. Now it comes down to basically the house versus Joey and Tamar. And we have this new twist, the publicist twist. For a while, it looked like Joey was in the lead here, but it does seem like Tamar has retaken the lead, and that Tamar is the more likely recipient of the publicist twist, which I was a lot more fine with before the HOH competition, which we're almost at.
I mean, I yes. Okay, we'll get there. I will say my Twitter feed is like, I follow people that don't follow Big Brother, but there's nothing else on my Twitter feed from the last like 12 hours that isn't, you know, hashtag CBB Tamar. Like it's, or I mean, I'm seeing a little bit of others, but it's, that's pretty much Twitter right now. If you follow anyone that's, you know, a Big Brother person.
Yes. I will say I'm of two minds about this. I like that we can kind of track how the vote is doing, as opposed to like the usual sort of curtain of like, don't look at the man behind the curtain. We will count the votes ourselves and not let you know. I like that it's a little more, you know, just out there, exposed, theoretically. However, I don't like how annoying it is on Twitter.
It reminds me of, I used to watch The Voice, and The Voice would do like the hashtag save so-and-so. And so they count up the hashtags. But like the period in which that they do that is like 10 minutes. So it's really not that disruptive. Yeah, this is, when do we find out who gets this? Like how many days of this?
It ends in about 45 minutes. So at noon Eastern.
Oh, okay. So I was like, oh, I couldn't remember. I don't even know what day it is. Is today the 29th, 30th? Who knows?
It is time. It is the 29th.
It's a concept. Well, thank God, because the last 12 hours of Twitter have been a lot.
Fun fact, I've started naming my notes for the day that I'm talking about instead of the day that the podcast is on, because I've found that when I go back, it's too confusing that I'm like, oh, this is labeled the 29th, but I'm talking about the 28th. So if I ever get the date wrong in the future, it's because of that. Just letting everyone know.
If I ever get the date wrong, it's just because I have no idea what to do with this.
So we get, after the eviction, we had some responses to the eviction. Natalie and Ricky were talking, Natalie and Lolo in particular were kind of like, you know, hey, people, they shouldn't be upset that we're playing better than them. Like, just stop it.
The equivalent of the "you're just jealous" argument. Hate us because they ain't us.
Yeah, and Ricky's like, yeah, you're right. They're playing terribly. The other side, they don't know what they're doing.
Ricky knows how to pump tires. I will say that. He's very good at like being like, yeah, it's you that's doing really good.
Ricky was really like lighting the women's fire all night after the veto. And it was kind of, I don't know how intentional, it has to be pretty intentional.
He said something about Joey said, Joey said something about them batting their eyelashes or something like that. And then, yeah, they got real fired up. Like, and I didn't see whether this actually happened. Like, who knows?
I'm pretty sure anything it didn't.
That. Yeah, well, like Ricky tells you something, like you have no idea if he's just trolling you or not. This conversation ever took place, and they got real riled up and went on this their feminist rant, which I mean I support, but like it's all manufactured by Ricky.
Yeah, it's I on one hand it's like I kind of like it by Ricky because he's getting them to go off against people who are going to be in the jury, and on the other hand it's like whoa. It's I don't know if the jury's gonna like it or not like it. They're certainly not gonna like Lolo and Natalie. I don't know how they're gonna respond to Ricky's thing.
I mean, he's saying things that aren't like hard to imagine. Like, I don't know. Joey, you know, being bitter towards and he is bitter towards the girls. Like like that is a real thing, but he's like Ricky's just kind of making up things that were actually set. Weren't actually set.
It's possible he's not making it up. I'll say that.
We don't
well.
Know. We'll find. No, we'll never find.
It's possible. So Tamar and Joey have a conversation. This is when I was like, all right, the two of them, they're work. One of them needs to win HOH. She's like, hey, we need to get it together. We need to win. We need to take a shot at the other side. We need to do this. Let's go.
Oh, let's go. I wasn't ready for that. Yeah. It was, pep talk. So the other side, so Tamar says, you know, all we need to do is you, me, Dina, and Candy, one of us wins. We just got to take one of them out, and then it's even. And then Joey's like, okay, I'm good. Back to Batman mode.
Yes.
I must be a hero.
Lolo and Natalie, really, really upset with the men, and Joey in particular. Ricky let them know that Joey is coming after them. And they're like, Joey has no right to be upset that he's losing. He turned down our offer of an alliance. And it's just like Lolo just really has like a selective memory about the first couple of days where it's like, actually, you never ended up proposing the alliance to him. So
I mean, that was a total mess up on Joey's part, but that isn't exactly how it went. You didn't go to ask him, like, you didn't actually ask him to be in the alliance, and then he said, no, I don't want to be in an alliance. Like, you were in the situation where you were going to have that conversation, and he is an idiot and starts talking about how he hates the word alliance, and then you're like, oh, JK.
And these distinctions, while they may seem petty, are very important in a game where he is going to go back and watch this conversation and see that, like, their justification for smack-talking him is that he turned down their proposal of an alliance, when he's like, you didn't propose an alliance to me. What are you like? You are already on shaky ground when you're trash talking somebody. You better get your facts straight, right? Like, it's dangerous territory. This is what happened with Ross. So,
and I have to believe that that is the version of the story that Lolo believes. Like, mm-hmm. There's so many conversations happening, and this is literally their entire life. So in her, you know, that's how she remembers it, or how she presents it to other people. There's so much like retelling of things, and it's like you switch a few words in a couple different spots, and it's a totally different story, but in your brain you told it the way that it actually happened. So I mean, I don't want to dog Lolo too much, but that is exactly the kind of stuff that comes back to, you know, bite you in the ass, because it's literally you shift a few words and it's a very different, you know, scheme of events. So
yeah. So Lolo and Natalie, they're mad that Joey is coming after them, because they feel like, why is he coming after us instead of Tom and Kato?
They should Everyone's be going winning.
After, yeah, they should be going after Tom and Kato. Why us? That's not fair. Lolo says she regrets crying for Ryan. I should never have cried for him. And they feel like Kato is a big threat, and they need to watch out for him because he's taken two people out now, they feel like, essentially, and that he's able to defuse his target, and that he's, you know, he's winning things. So they need to be careful of Kato, which they actually kind of don't, because
they're like, he's so good at the game. I'm like, not really. Like,
but wait, it's interesting. It's interesting to note.
Yeah. I mean, of the three guys in their alliance, I really think that Kato is the person that they should be least concerned about, because one, he's absolutely the most loyal to them. Like, he's the most like go team about this five person alliance. And also he doesn't have good game instinct. Like, he's just had power and just kind of does what he wants to do and doesn't really take other people's good opinions into account. Like, that's not a great player, but the perception of him, I guess, is that he's running shit. And so they are worried about him.
I honestly think of any, you know, in this five person alliance with Tom, Ricky and Kato, I think that Kato could probably be convinced to take one of the women to the end over Tom. Like, I think that's possible. So again, there's definitely some cracks in this alliance, but unfortunately, when Kato is sort of in charge of making some decisions, we're never going to see those cracks do anything.
No.
But hopefully in the future, we will see them do something. So we have a very long HOH competition. It was an individually timed thing. It was a haunted house kind of thing, themed thing, I think sort of similar to the Black Box challenge.
That's what I was thinking.
Yes, you go in, you try to find something, and all of that. This is what I've been referring to since the start of the podcast. Tamar did not compete.
Is it super clear that she did not compete? Because some of the things she said, she's like, I wasn't gonna do that. And if they had told me that I was gonna have to do this going in, I would have said no. But like, Tamar also is like very gifted in the art of hyperbole. So like, I don't know if she's just being dramatic that she just like didn't do well, or did she legitimately like not do the task? Like, that is what I'm still not clear on.
That is why I tried to get some clarification on this, because it's hard to believe that she genuinely did not compete. But I believe what was said is something along the lines of that, like, hey, I made the right decision not doing that because I'm not doing that. Like, that's not what I'm here for. I'm glad that I didn't do it.
I mean, seeing how terrified she was being like a couple like feet off of the ground. I mean, if it was a scary competition, like everyone was saying, there's probably no way in hell she was going to win anyway. So maybe she's right in that she made the right decision and not even bothering that. Like, she kept her, you know, emotions and anxiety in check by not putting herself through unnecessary stress. She wasn't going to win anyway. Maybe that's how she's seeing it. But like, she knows that she's in a minority position in the house. Like, come on.
Here's the thing about underdogs. They need to win competitions. If they don't even play in competitions, then they are not an underdog. They're just useless. Why are they even there?
But Joe, like, you know, if she's got Batman Joey on her side, then she doesn't even need to win. It doesn't matter, right?
It was literally only two people could win this HOH competition to make it interesting. It was Joey or Tamar. Tamar took a look at the thing and she was like, eh.
Well, Candy could have made it interesting.
I don't know. Possibly, but maybe not particularly likely.
Not as interesting. But
yeah, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. Really,
I'm looking forward to seeing how that gets handled on the show proper.
I'm sure they'll have fun with it.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, I talked last night on Twitch in particular about, like, I just feel like it's the twist in the beginning that put Jonathan on the block. It's the third nominee twist where you put somebody up that the HOH did not want on the block. It gives the majority an opportunity to make an HOH from the minority invalid, right? So Ryan was in the majority for like a day, then he was in the minority. And so this minority group of the guys should have been able to at least have their HOH take a shot at the other side. And then we would have had Cato win the next one. He would have taken a shot back at the guys. And then the numbers would still be relatively even. We'd still see something of a fight. But instead, Ryan had to take out one of his own allies as a minority in the house. And then he couldn't even compete, and then we had very few options to win in the next HOH, and then another guy gets taken out, and now we're probably going to see a third guy get taken out because Tom was in fact the winner of this HOH, and unless Tom does something to surprise us and make us excited, it does seem like, you know, we're going to be losing either Tamar or Joey, most likely Joey, as it currently appears.
There is a conversation later in the, like, I'm not putting that in stone. There's a conversation later in the night between Tom and Cato and Ricky. And they do express some concern about Candy, and that she, you know, she knows what she's doing. Apparently, like, Cato made a big deal about the fact that, like, the Mooch said that she's going to win or something like that. And then he's like, the Mooch is real smart. Like, we should be careful. Like, and they're definitely, they seemed, and I don't know, I watched this conversation and maybe things have changed again since then, but it did seem like they were entertaining the possibility of making Candy actually the target. So, I mean, of the possibilities that would have been the most exciting and shaking up the game, you know, this isn't ideal, but from that side of the house, I'm happy that Tom wins at least. At least we get the gift of a Tom HOH for, you know, a couple days, him up in his room and all of that. But he actually acknowledges that Candy is a little bit dangerous and that she has no problem just kind of walking into rooms and just, you know, speaking her mind. And they do seem a little bit threatened. And he acknowledges that he has a good relationship with Joey. So I'm trying to hold on to some hope, like, that maybe we, you know, we keep Tamar and Joey. I can't even believe I'm saying that I want Joey to stay. But
well, I mean, that's like, even if it is Candy, it's basically like the main power structure will stay in place.
Yeah, it will stay in place. But
basically, like what it's looking like to me is that the power structure that formed essentially on day two is going to last until like the last couple of evictions. It's seeming yeah. like that might be the case, unless the women get power and turn on Kato. That might be kind of interesting, you know, because they think that he's a little bit threatening. But this is not exactly, you know, this is looking a bit like the dreaded steamroll. And I think yeah. it's all that first twist's fault. I really do. I feel like it started it. And it happens every single time they do something like that. They try it on the first week. And even on the first week, it screws it up, I think. So
Karen,
that's unfortunate.
You're blaming it on the twist. How shocking.
I went into a whole tirade last night on Twitch. I'm telling you, like people get upset about, you know, like how much I rail against twists, but I really genuinely feel like almost everything that anyone ever complains about, most of it can be traced back to a poor production decision. Most of those poor production decisions are involved around some kind of twist or another. And I really do think that this initial twist really screwed us up here.
I don't disagree. I am fully on board with the fact that the first week of this show was a massive mishandling on production's part between, you know, that twist and the mooch mystery that I still, who the hell knows what that was really about. They really did botch like the beginning of this. And when you have such a small group, like, something as minor as that first week twist, like you said, really does change the whole course of it. And you're probably right that we're going to get less strategic drama from the rest of the season. But thank God that we still, these people seem to have enough social chaos between them that at least we'll maybe get something interesting out of that. Like,
our biggest hope here is Tom, because after he won the HOH competition, he did say, "Hey, with great power comes great responsibility. I've got some big decisions to make. Not sure what I'm going to do, which is going to surprise some people. If it's going to surprise some people, then I think I'll be happy, because the only way to surprise his alliance is basically betray them, right? Like, there's no other thing that would surprise them, unless he thinks that, like, trying to target Candy would surprise them, but I don't think it would.
Yeah, he does say something about, you know, not doing necessarily what you think or something. But, like, he does this little monologue near the end, and he's like, "Oh, a lot's happened today. I'm not going to tell you about it. Like, we got to wait and see. It's going to be a big day tomorrow." And I really just want to know if he's just teasing us and if he's actually going to do something different, because that would be fantastic. But like I said before, you know, that side of the house, someone winning HOH, thank God it's Tom. Like, I don't think that we would be getting much out of like a Lolo mm-hmm. or Ricky HOH. Well, maybe Ricky would have been a little off the rails. Who knows? And this is the best of the worst possibilities.
Yes, I agree. I think that, you know, if anyone was going to win in the power structure, I'm glad it's Tom, because he's been trying to shake things up for the last couple of evictions, and he's just been unable to because he has no power. Now he has some power. It would be lovely if he was able to shake some stuff up here. He wants to talk to everyone individually. Coffee time with Tom.
Coffee chat with Tom. I love this idea. It's so adorable. And he's talking to Candy about how he wants to do this. But it seems like that idea kind of gets stomped by Ricky and Kato, where they don't know if there's a huge pro to doing these coffee chats. So I don't know if we'll see those today, but I love it.
It's because Tom is one of the few people that actually went and watched more than just a couple of episodes.
Exactly.
And so he
was talking about Paul last night. Yeah. Like, I was like, and like Kato and Ricky are like, "Oh, who? Like, what season is?" Like, they only know Celebrity Big Brother. Like, that's literally the only season that they're aware of. Tom actually knows.
Why would you talk to everyone individually? He's like, because people tell you things.
Yeah, like, I learned something. It's so frustrating because like Tom has good game instincts, and then he sits in a room with like Kato, who just like steamrolls anything that he has to say with, you know.
Yes.
Kato nonsense.
Kato did end up spilling a lot of information to Candy, like telling her what the thought process behind backdooring Ryan, saying he's closely working with Tom, just because like she was talking with him. She was like, I'm not sure how I'm feeling right now. And he was just like, oh, let me just tell you everything that I know, basically.
I was getting the worst secondhand embarrassment watching this conversation because like Kato is like Tom and I, we're like together. And she's like, yeah, I know. Like, no shit. And then Tom comes in and Kato's like, I told her that like you and I like were pals. Like it's just so like Kato, stop, please just stop talking. This is just so uncomfortable for everyone involved, including the like people watching at like on their live feeds. This is just bad.
Yes, Tom, Kato, and Ricky had a conversation that you were referring to where they talked about the plan for the week. Kato was saying that he would like if it was Candy and Tamar on the block, and then they backdoor Joey. Ricky was pretty much on board with that. As you mentioned, there was talk of potentially making Candy the target as well. And also, I feel like Ricky was maybe pushing toward, hey, what if we got out Tamar? So there was a lot of debate about like basically which of those three. Tom said Dina is kind of off the table. He doesn't want to take Dina out. So it's looking like either Candy, Tamar, or Joey will be targeted. What's interesting is that, again, it looks like the power is likely going to Tamar unless there's a like crazy late last second, you know, surge for Joey, which I doubt there would be, which means that Tamar will have this power. And I'm still not exactly sure what this power is, but I was thinking about it more last night. And the fact that it can be used at nominations or veto ceremony really makes me think that it's more like Paul's, you know, pendant of protection or whatever it was, where basically the second you touch the block, it automatically gets used. That it feels like that to me, because otherwise there's no point in using it at the nomination.
It's not a choice like Tyler's thing.
Yeah,
last season.
Because Tyler had to make the decision before the thing happened, which made it a little more.
You need to be tipped off.
There was still very little point to using it at a nomination ceremony, but at least it made a little bit of sense. Whereas if this happens after, then there's zero point. There's absolutely no point to use it at nomination ceremony. I'm looking for logic in people who are bad at making decisions, which I disagree with their twist decisions all the time. So it might just make no sense. However, I'm trying to grasp at some kind of logic. It only makes sense if it just automatically gets activated the second you touch the block. So,
and then is she safe for veto renom?
I would assume so.
You would assume, but is that what that means? Like, who knows?
So what I'm expecting potentially is that Candy is in about a half hour, Tamar in about a half hour is going to receive this power. And then a couple hours later, she's going to be nominated, and then it's going to be activated, and then she's going to be off the block. And then we're going to end up with Joey and Candy on the block. The power will be completely neutralized. And then we're going to see probably Joey leave.
Yeah, possibly. Maybe Candy. I don't know. I still feel like Tom identifies that Joey being around isn't the worst for his game, and I have a little bit of hope that he maybe might be a little bit more assertive and push for him to stay. But I guess if the votes are, you know, locked in to get rid of Joey, then he doesn't have power. I really want to see Tom, like, he's so good at, you know, letting people like do what they want to do and kind of just like subtly putting in his insight and not being pushy and like steamrolly like Kato is. Like, that, I think that's a really great part of his game, and that's a winning quality to it as well. But I do worry about him not being assertive enough when this is his HOH. In that conversation with Ricky and Kato when they were having beer, he, like, Ricky even acknowledged, he's like, oh, you keeping Joey is better for your game. And like, this is your HOH. So like not putting him on the block so that if he like comes down and he's not mad at you, that kind of makes sense. So like, I have a little bit of hope that he's not going to make a decision that is not best for him, but.
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem is that even if he wants Joey safe, the only way to keep Joey safe is to not nominate him. And as soon as Tamar is safe, Joey is his only option to nominate on the to put up next to Candy. And so once Joey is up next to Candy, the women will vote him out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is like I'm worried that he doesn't have the influence to with his alliance to get them to take out Candy instead.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see what happens. A publicist's power going wrong. Like, I can't imagine that that's going to screw anything up. They have the best powers.
Yes. Lone Ranger in the chat here says, has the exact wording, which, you know, it doesn't exactly clear things up, but just in case you're wondering, power of the publicist will allow the chosen house guest to remove him or herself from nomination at one of the next two nomination ceremonies or veto meetings. The power can only be used once and expires after the veto meeting on February 4th, 2019, whether it is used or not. So again, it just makes no sense for it to, like to be chosen, like nobody would ever choose to use it. Although again, people who don't understand the game might choose to use it at a nomination ceremony, I guess. But I think that the second Tamar touches the block, either it's going to automatically be used or she's just going to come out and say, I'm using it. And then she'll be safe for the whole week or whatever. But
is there a situation where if Tom's nominees today are Candy and Joey, and I don't know that that's what he's going to do, but is there a situation where the nominees are Candy and Joey and Tamar uses her power? Like, I'm just trying to figure out, is there any way that this can get used to save? It would save her, but if say like Candy won the veto or something like that, or Joey won the veto, then I guess the other one still goes home, right?
Yeah.
And then they would put like Dina up or something, like as the pawn, and right, they still send the other person up. Okay, well, screw it.
Basically, oh, well. If we want to see anything happen, like the power is going to be flushed out this week, almost definitely. Yeah. Yeah. And it's probably going to be flushed out in a situation where the person wasn't going to go home anyway. And then we're probably going to, unless Tom decides to betray the 5-person Team Fawn alliance, we're gonna see either Joey or Candy leave this week.
Oh well.
Yeah. Well, wait.
Maybe it'll be fun. It's Team Fawn, Ricky or Tom. Bring us some fun today. I need it.
Yes. So, I mean, really, I think this season we're just kind of waiting for everyone else to leave so this 5-person thing can turn on each other.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll still be good, I guess. Let's just hopefully be optimistic, well, like Tom is.
You know, unfortunately, last season it was, they stopped the game at around Final Four. So,
like, oh, we're done now. So, everyone else leave.
Yeah, that would be a little unfortunate. But we'll see how it goes. So that's what we've got for you today, unless there was anything else that you wanted to bring up, Jenny.
No, just that I'm so how many days of Tom HOH do we get? Just because him having his own room to do his nighttime stuff is just everything I could have hoped for and more.
It's true. I believe the next eviction is Saturday, so we're gonna get full Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That's 4 days plus the eviction day, so it's a long one.
Great, that's all I wanted. If I have to deal with someone in power, it's Tom. That's great. I'm happy about that. You have to just try and find the bright spots when the game ends up in the position it's at, right?
Hey, you know, 5 days is a long time for Tom to just stick to a boring plan. That's all I'm saying. Come on, Tom.
And he needs, I don't know, I feel like he needs to be entertained, and he knows what he's doing in the game. I think that he feels like maybe it's a little too early to do anything that bold.
But yeah, also
there's only like, so many people.
Like, we can root for Tom to betray the alliance, but I don't think it's in his best interest.
That's the thing. It probably isn't. I think that it's in his best interest though for Joey to stay, because Joey really likes Tom. They have a good thing. So at least if he ends up winning an HOH, he's in good hands that way.
If he was able to keep Joey and like on the down low, tell Joey that he's keeping him safe. Joey is the kind of person who would take Tom to the end no matter what. And so if Tom was able to sneak Joey into the end game, then Tom would have an extra person, especially if he's able to sneak Joey and Kato. I think they would both take him. Like that's so anybody could pick Joey up that way. Joey is very amenable to just like, sure, I'm down to work with you. I will give you all of my loyalty. Joey is not about betrayals. He's not about negative energy. If the first person to give him anything, he will be 100% loyal to and take them to the end. And so if Tom was able to do that, it would be great. And if he was able to do that without betraying his alliance this week, it would be even better. However, with Tamar having the power, it seems very unlikely that it's going to be possible.
Yeah, it's too bad. Joey really just does want a friend. The one thing that I actually did want to quickly bring up, something, and I'm still not clear about what happened, but something seemed to happen during the HOH,
yes.
I think between Ricky and Joey. And so, I mean, it's not clear, but he did something to him, or there was some sort of conversation, and it sounded like Joey kind of backed off, but he's talking about how like normally he would talk it through. It was very confusing what actually happened. But he has a conversation with Candy and Tamar afterwards, and they all kind of acknowledge that there's like this switch that flips with Ricky where all of a sudden he kind of like goes off. So it sounds like there was some sort of tension between the two of them while the feeds were off yesterday.
Yes, I almost forgot to mention that, so thank you for bringing it up. Very important note, actually, because I've been talking about how Ricky had that one thing happen with Tom, but other than that he's been totally fine. I think he could easily win in the end. However, it happened again apparently during the HOH competition or something along those lines. Joey was saying something along the lines of I'm glad that behavior didn't get rewarded. I'm glad that you won, Tom. So
Ricky must have been like close or like second place or something like that.
Yeah,
because it sounded like he was like he almost won or something the way he was talking about it.
Yeah. So Ricky might be the final two goat that Lolo hopes he will be. I don't know. It's possible if he continues to just have that flip. If it happens more, then I really feel, because I think that he is potentially in the best spot in the entire game to win the whole thing. All he needs to do is not be a jerk. But he might just not be able to help himself.
He just gets cranky sometimes. I don't know. He loses his zen and he just goes off. But so definitely Tamar and Candy were agreeing with Joey that they acknowledge that there's something with him. So I mean, he might not be as universally liked as we think, and there's still a lot of time for more of these things to happen. So I'm really interested to see what really went on between the two of them, because he was pretty upset.
Yes. I'm still just so disappointed in Tamar. Just wanted to say that again.
Not a team player.
Not a player.
Not a player.
People
not a
are
player.
So down on Joey. At least he competes in the competitions. Ugh. All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong Taren. Jenny, where can people find you?
Twitter or Instagram at Jenny Autumn.
There you go. I will, of course, be live tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the feeds. And we have the next episode is going to be tomorrow night. And we will be recapping everything that happens there. We'll talk about the HOH competition and everything. We will have Scotty there to talk with us. Yes.
Love Scotty.
Should be fun. Should be a fun time. So be on the lookout for all of that. And see you next time.